From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Daniel Zuckerman is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Developer Solitude Solar is currently in negotiation with the town of Hunter over a payment in lieu of taxes or pilot agreement that would declare the company tax exempt for 15 years. The developer of the 2.3-megawatt solar project was scheduled to attend a meeting with town officials September 17th, but company representatives were unable to attend due to a scheduling conflict. Hunter Town Board member Sean Mahoney said the meeting will be rescheduled and open to the public. Solitude Solar is proposing the construction of a facility on 15 acres of unusable land on the non-functioning Hunter landfill that could power 500 to 700 homes within the Central Hudson Gas and Electric region, which serves Southern Albany, Greene, Southern Columbia, Ulster, Dutchess, Orange, and Northern Putnam counties. State law provided 15-year real property tax exemption for properties with renewable energy systems, including solar. The project has received conditional approval from the town. The former landfill, located on Highland Road in Tannersville, holds waste from Hunter and five other mountaintop towns. The site was closed and sealed between 1990 and 1993. Mahoney said the solar project will promote clean energy, but will also bring revenue to the town and potentially offset electric bills for residents and the Hunter-Tannersville School District. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Diane Velden is reporting for the Columbia paper. The opposition to a proposed convenience store and gas station in Caryville appears to be building. Gas wholesaler GRJH Incorporated currently has an application before the Copec Planning Board seeking site plan approval for a new Cobble Pond 3,240 square foot store with three fuel dispenser islands on the site of the old Caryville supermarket at State Route 23 and Caryville Road. The Planning Board heard additional public comments against the project at its September 6 meeting. The public hearing on the proposal has been open since November 2017, and Planning Board Chair Bob Haight said he expects it to remain open for at least two more months. At the most recent meeting, several residents spoke in opposition to the project, and the board received written communications from residents who could not attend. Project neighbors have raised serious concerns about the safety of the intersection, worries that the facility will cause an increase in truck traffic and become a truck stop, and unease over the size and scale of the project and its impact on the hamlet. The company's application is now before the Planning Board for site plan review. The project has received Board of Health approval, and the applicant is awaiting State Department of Transportation approval of the traffic study, which is part of the site work permit needed from the department. Once that is received, a complete package will be sent to the Columbia County Planning Board for review. In the meantime, a new group called Save Caryville is emerging. The group was to hold an informed and organized meeting last week. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. The Daily Freeman is reporting the Appellate Division of the State Supreme Court Third Judicial Department ruled September 17th that independent congressional candidate Diane Neal's name can appear on the November 6th ballot. The decision overturned a lower court ruling that Neal's petition for an independent line on the ballot lacked sufficient signatures. That lower court ruling affirmed a determination by the State Board of Elections. The appeals court sided with Neal's argument that the invalidation of her petition should be dismissed because she was not properly served notice of the petition's deficiencies. Neal, a Hurley resident, said in a statement issued by her campaign, and I quote, "With this behind us, our campaign restarts in earnest immediately. We're excited to be back on the ballot, and we're not resting until the polls close on November 6th, end quote. This makes Neal one of three candidates looking to unseat first-term U.S. Representative John Faso this fall, along with Democrat Antonio Delgado and Green Party nominee Steve Greenfield. Neal's name will appear on the Friends of Diane Neal line. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Rick Carlin is reporting for the Times Union. The State Board of Regents, September 17th, agreed to drop a plan that would have allowed financial restrictions on schools where more than 5% of its students are boycotting the standardized math and English tests. Under the original proposal, the State Education Commissioner could have required schools where fewer than 95% of the students take the test to use a portion of their federal Title I money to develop programs to increase participation. Education Commissioner Mary Ellen Ela stressed that the plan did not mean that schools would get less money, although some people misinterpreted it that way. The rule faced opposition by parents who are part of opt-out movement that opposed many standardized tests and by the state's major teachers union, New York State United Teachers. New York has had a substantial number of opt-out or students who boycott the annual math and English exams. The tests are used to gauge school performance, but they don't factor into individual student grades. During the 2017-18 school year, approximately 19% of the roughly 1 million eligible students boycotted the test, down from 21% 2 years ago. The new rules will be finalized after a 30-day comment period. The regents will likely give final approval in December. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.